Amen, amen. How y'all feel, church? Oh, y'all could do better than that. How you feel, church? Oh, y'all could do better than that. I said, how you feel, church? Did he wake you up this morning? Did he set you on your way? Does your mind work? Do your limbs work? Is your loved ones here? Do you have employment? Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have food on your table? Has he been good to you, church? Amen. Amen. We serve a faithful God, don't we? How many of us love the fact that God is faithful even when we're faithless? You see, we don't praise God enough for his faithfulness. We don't praise God enough that he's not like us. We don't praise God enough that he's not like man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. You don't change your mind on God about 50 lamb times. But I thank God that he's never changed his mind about me. I thank God that when I'm weak, he's strong. I thank God that when I'm low, he's high. I thank God that when I don't know where to go, he has already made a way out of no way. Oh, somebody better praise God that he's faithful, or you better not act like he ain't been good to you. TGH, we're in week 3 of a sermon series called... Woo, y'all gonna have to wake up. If y'all don't wake up, the Holy Spirit gonna get you up. This sermon series is called Money in My Hand, Harlem in My Heart. Amen, amen. And last week we talked about what tithing is. Did that bless anybody? Did anybody get blessed by last week's word? Amen, amen, amen. Can we just stop for a minute and praise God for Pastor Nate, for Jenny, for Kai, and for Ty? Oh, y'all can do better than that. Did they bless your life last week? Amen, amen. Last week was a movie. Somebody say movie. But if last week was a movie, then this week is the sequel. Because God's given me the assignment this week to teach you how God uses the tithe to not just fund his kingdom work, but to also transform every area of your life. So if you can, physically, please stand with me for the scripture reading. Today I'm in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I'm going to go down to verse 12. And God is about to get us all the way together, honey. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's go. The word of the Lord to the prophet Malachi is, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you what? Blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Bow with me as we ask God to bless his already anointed and blessed word. Heavenly Father, your word shall go forth today and not come back void. I don't say that because I hope it. I say that because you promised it. So God, all I ask today is that you get this dust of a man out the way, that you remove all distractions, and that you allow us to lock in on a download that you're about to bring into our lives. Father, you are doing a new thing, a new thing. You are on the move like the lease is up. And so God, I just want us to be ready for wherever you want to move us and shift us today. Father, may you get all the glory for everything that is said from this pulpit. May the words from my lips and meditation in my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our strength and our redeemer. Agree with that said? Amen. You may be seated. May be seated. You look good and warm. Amen, somebody. Amen for warmth. Amen. 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 Now, before I begin, I don't want to assume that everybody in here heard last week's word or that everybody in here understands what the tithe is. So let me define it again for you guys. So if you missed it last week, you want to take notes, here's what tithing is. Tithing is literally the intentional and prayerful decision to give 10%, somebody say 10%, 10% of your income to God. And listen, I'm not preaching to you today as an expert in tithing. I'm preaching to you today as somebody who's had to learn this lesson the hard way. Somebody say the hard way. See, many of you don't know this, but I've spent many of my years as a Christian, in fact, most of my years as a Christian, as a non-tither. All right, you know what? You know what? Forget it. I'm just about to spill all the tea. Y'all know I'm clumsy. I'm going to spill all the tea. I was pastoring a whole church and wasn't tithing. And I had all the justifications in the world for it. I was just like many of you. See, at the time, I was a young pastor, fresh out of seminary, newlywed, had a small child, and I was only making $12,000 a year at my first church. And I'm looking at God like, hey, yo, Lord, like, you gotta be kidding me, Lord. You spun me, yo. You hit me with the okie dokie. Like, how you have me walk away from a career in pro ball to make less than minimum wage to preach the gospel? Help me understand this, Lord. The math ain't mathing. Has that been anybody in any season of your life when God has called you into obedience? Where the math just stopped mathing? Am I helping somebody? Am I talking to the people of God? And one day, as I was preparing a message that had nothing to do with money, the Holy Spirit said to me, in the middle of my prep, you don't trust me. And have you ever been like low-key staticky with God? You see, I'm talking to Jesus' first cousins over here. Let me go to the real section right here. Y'all, this is the family section right here. Y'all all related to the Lord, I know. But the people that ain't related to the Lord, you ever been like low-key staticky with God? Like you've been faithful to God, but you ain't seeing fruitfulness in your life? Like, am I talking to anybody? You've been doing all the things God said you're supposed to do. You've been coming to church. You've been tithing. You've been giving. You've been serving. You've been doing all the stuff that the church say you should do, and you ain't seeing fruit. Got a lot of faith. Ain't got no fruit. Am I helping anybody? So I was low-key staticky with God at the time. So when God said, you don't trust me, I got a little spicy. Not gonna hold it, I got a little spicy with the Lord. I did. I was like, God, what you mean I don't trust you? I walked away from everything I've worked my whole life for to follow your call on my life. I gave up my dream to walk in your destiny for me. I've strained relationships to follow you. How can you say to me that I don't trust you? Now, I'm lucky he ain't strike me down. But that's how I was feeling. That's how I was feeling. And God's response to me literally left me shooketh. Can I tell you what the Lord said to me? Can I tell you what the Lord said to me? He said back to me, I didn't say you don't love me. I said, you don't trust me. And in that moment, God literally flashed my finances in front of my face. And he lovingly showed me how even though I loved him with all my heart, I didn't trust him with my money. And I told Shanika that day when she got home from work, babe, I don't care what happens to our crib. I don't care what happens to our car. I don't care what happens to our cell phone. We will never not honor God first in our finances again. And from that day on, I've been tithing weekly, faithfully. And I've seen God bless me exponentially ever since. Now, let me help you. What God has taught me over the years of tithing is this. Tithing has nothing to do with giving him money. Oh, y'all miss me. I got to say that again because y'all spun right now. I said tithing has nothing to do with giving God money. God doesn't need nothing from you. Newsflash, God don't need nothing from you. Okay, let me say that again for somebody in the back. I said God don't need nothing from you. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say he don't need you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, he don't need you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, he got all by himself. God, that's how the old church used to say it. That's how the old church say, he got all by himself. He don't need you. God don't need you. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything is God's. Your money, your career, your past, your present, your future, your loved ones, your life. You are God's. Oh, well, I don't even believe in God. You're still his. Oh, well, I don't even serve the Lord. You still got to live in his world. You're his. You belong to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So if 100% of everything belongs to God, then obviously God don't need nothing from us. Catch this revelation. So if God sets something up, it's not because he needs it. It's because we. I said, oh, see, y'all ain't got faith. I said, it's because we. We what? We need it. Somebody tell your neighbor, say, you need it. Somebody tell your other neighbor, say, you need it. Now somebody look at yourself and say, I need it. Not the church needs it. Not God needs it. Not the kingdom needs it. I need it. I need the tithe. I need it. This is not about the church. This is not about God. This is not about the kingdom. This is for me. There is something in this for me that will change my destiny. Who am I preaching to? Point one, the purpose of the tithe. In the context of today's text, God is rebuking his rebellious children, and somewhere in the process of God chastening his children, he says this to them: you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. But wait, PK, I thought you said God doesn't need our money. So how are we robbing him? Well, if everything in the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then what are you? I said, if everything is the earth, everything in the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then what are you? You see, God tells Israel that their refusal to tithe has turned them into thieves. They're robbing God, not of money, they're robbing him of glory. They're robbing him not of money, they're robbing him of worship. They're robbing him not of money, they're robbing him of his proper place in their lives. You see, they weren't made in the image of money. You weren't made in the image of money. You weren't made to be all about the Benjamins. You were made in the image of God. And when they stop obeying God's command to tithe, they stop loving God as ultimate. You see, most of us aren't stealing money from God. Money is stealing us from God. Y'all not gonna talk to me today. That's all right. I'm gonna preach this thing how he gave it to me. And this is why we need the tithe. I said, this is why we need the tithe. Not because God or the church needs it, but because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. God doesn't care about the money in your hands. He cares about the condition of your heart. He tells you to love him with all your heart. Heart, heart. God wants your heart. And oftentimes, God has to get what's in your hands so he can get a hold of your heart. See, when God tells Israel you're a nation of thieves, what he's really saying is you're a nation that steals glory from me. Do you realize that when we don't honor God financially, we become what I call divine plagiarizers? What is a divine plagiarizer? I'm glad you asked. A divine plagiarizer is a person that takes all the credit for the work of God and passes it off as their own. A divine plagiarizer is a person who takes all the credit for that good job you got and don't give God no glory for how good he's been to you. A divine plagiarizer is a person who takes all the credit for that mind he gave you. It doesn't give God any glory or credit for the mind. The divine plagiarizer is a person who takes all the glory for that gift, but doesn't give it back to God in faith. A divine plagiarizer is a person who doesn't give God the proper honor for the work he's done in their lives. So after God gives his pow-pow to his people, he says, bring the whole tithe. Somebody say the whole tithe. They're not half the tithe, not half of y'all, not a tenth of y'all, all of y'all. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Test me in this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Do you know that this is the only place in scripture where God invites us to test him? He said, test me in this. Every other place, God is like, I wish a person would try me, try me. See if I don't get his whole family. That's how God be moving. I wish you would try me. Don't try the Lord. But in your finances, God says, put me to the test. Put me to the test. Put me to the test. Do you know what that means in the Hebrew? It means pull up on me and see what I'll do. Yeah, God talking spicy. God is like, don't just take me at my word. Test me on the tithe. And see if I won't open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there won't be room enough in your life to hold it. God's like, my plan for you is so big. I got blessings on blessings on blessings on blessings to pour on your life. I'm going to pour out so much blessing. I'm going to pour out so much grace. I'm going to pour out so much favor. I'm going to pour out so much provision. I'm going to pour out so much on you that you're going to have to give it away because you can't store it all. You're going to have to give away more because I'm going to keep pouring. And beloved, as I read this text this week, I got the image of God. It broke my heart. As I read this text this week, I got the image of God standing in heaven like this. Nah, hold up. Wait. Nah, Spirit. Hold up. Don't release that. God holding angels back. God holding power back. God holding promises back. God holding provision back. God saying to himself within the Trinity, don't give him that yet. He's not ready for that. Don't release that to her yet. She can't handle it. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart for you. That God has to hold promises back. That God has to hold power back. That God has to hold provision back because you keep holding obedience back. And God says, your problem is not your resources. Your problem is that you're a reservoir, not a river. Do you know the difference between a reservoir and a river? Both of them are large bodies of water, but one is man-made, and the other is God-made. A reservoir is created by man by building a dam to block the flow of water. But rivers are created by God to flow with life, power, and possibilities. And God is looking at many of us from heaven and saying, you're not trustworthy of the resources I have for you because you're a reservoir, not a river. You're where my resources go and stop. Anything I put in your hand stagnates. It stops with you. But I didn't create you for that. I created you to be a river. I created you to flow with life and possibilities. I have blessings to pour on your life that you can't even contain, but I need you to flow and not stop whatever I put in your hands. Write this down. God will never invest resources into reservoirs. He only invests in rivers. Oh, I need to say that again for somebody in the back. God will never invest resources into reservoirs. He only invests into rivers. If you don't want to honor God financially today after this word, that's fine. You can go be a reservoir. But know that the power and purpose in your life will come from man, not God. And I wonder what's going to happen in your life when you have a God-sized problem. But you only got man-sized solutions. God makes rivers, not reservoirs. You can choose what you want to be today, but you will have a God-sized problem, and you won't have a God big enough to solve it. See, the purpose of the tithe is to turn us into rivers that the power of God can flow through, not reservoirs that stop the flow of God's power. Second point, somebody say this with me, the power of the tithe. So God not only says that the tithe has a purpose that exists beyond itself, he also says that it unleashes power in our lives in a unique way. Because he says next, you ready? After he says, test me on tithing, he says this. He says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Now, I need to break this down for us today. I needed that. Hold on. When God says that I will stop the pests from devouring your crops, It's like God saying, if you honor me first financially, I'll prevent your economy from crashing. I'm not talking to nobody with faith. I'll prevent inflation from rising. I'll prevent recessions from coming. I'm trying to preach to the people of God who know that there can be a recession happening around you and resources still flowing to you because your God is not bound by the economy of this land, but by the economy of heaven. And he doesn't operate by the rules of man's financial system, but he operates by heaven's financial system. You're not talking to the preacher. Are you wondering why inflation can be rising for some, but provision is flowing to others? I promise you somewhere in their life, they've been faithful to the Lord. Oh, I promise you that's God paying them back. Oh, I promise you that's heaven's economy working, not man's. Y'all not talking to the preacher. God says, I'll rebuke the devil and the devourer. This is why in verse 9 he says, you are under a curse. You are under a curse. This whole nation. Under a curse. This whole nation. It's not just this. Under a curse. You're under a curse because you're robbing me. The grammatical structure of that sentence in the Hebrew suggests that even as Israel was being blessed, they were also under a curse. My God, you didn't know that you could be blessed and still be under a curse. You did not know that. The grammatical structure of the Hebrew means that even though they were blessed, they were still under a curse. They had resources, but they weren't honoring God with it. They were blessed, but they were still under a curse. Y'all not talking to me. The car, on the one hand, is a blessing. I said that car, that V, skirt, on the one hand is a blessing, but on the other hand, it's always on E. You done got so many tickets, you done funded a brand new bridge for the city of New York. They done renamed the highway just off of your generous donations. Built the whole infrastructure just off your tickets. Every time you turn around, it's in the shop. It's a blessing, but it's also a curse. Okay, y'all still not talking to me. That job, on the one hand, is a blessing. Oh, I see you. You cute, paycheck, new paycheck, you doing you, I see you, you flexing on your exes, I see you. It's giving you a paycheck. But God says, because you're not honoring me with it, it's robbing you of peace of mind. Boop. Oh, you can get a paycheck, but you don't honor me with it, you won't get peace. How's that working out for you? It's full of frustration, ain't it? Can't seem to catch a break. God says, because you don't honor me, you're going to always feel overwhelmed and undervalued. But keep building your reservoir. Have fun with it. Yeah, you're getting a check, but you're also getting clapped because of your disobedience. That relationship, on the one hand, is a blessing. I ain't even going to say no more. On the other hand, let me just keep it pushing. See, the power of the tithe that God mentions in these verses is literally the promise of divine protection over all of your work. Oh my God, I need you to catch this revelation, church. This is what David meant when he said, I was young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen. I ain't never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. Why, David? See, you don't read the rest of the verse. Read the verse. Why, David? Oh, because they are always generous. Why is it, David? Because they are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. There are generational blessings attached to your generosity. Ooh, Lord, if they could just get this word, Lord, if they could get this word, Lord. David says, in all my years on earth, I done seen giants fall, empires crumble, kingdoms shaken. I done lived in caves and in castles. But let me tell you what I've never seen. I've never seen someone that honors God financially on the streets forsaken. I've never seen their seed begging for bread. I've seen them struggle. I've seen them have seasons when the cabinet gets bare. I've seen the bills pile up. But God is faithful to his word that if we put him first, I said if you put him first, I said if you seek first his kingdom and all his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. God keeps his word. Beloved, there is covering attached to your giving. The tithe is for you. I said the tithe is for you. There is covering attached to your giving. This concept shouldn't be foreign to us because this is God's heavenly, you ready for this? Insurance policy. What's an insurance policy? It's a small amount of money that we tithe in order to secure financial protection over someone or something that we value. So the little amount that you tithe each month to your insurance provider is covering the person, place, or thing that you value most. Well, God says, if you'll honor me with what's already mine, then you ain't seen coverage like I give coverage. You might have seen Geico, but you've never seen God go, oh my God. You might have seen ADT, but you ain't never seen G-O-D. You might got State Farm, but you ain't never seen a good neighbor like me. God says, I'll be your heavenly insurance policy. God says, test me and watch me cover you like nothing on earth can. Am I teaching good for anybody in God's house? You see, God says test them. He says test them because in testing God in the area of your finances, you're fortifying your faith in him. You're fortifying your faith. You're building a faith foundation, not a sand foundation. That's what most of us built our house on, sand. That's why anything, any storm can sink it. Bring that house crashing down. Sand. So you're building a faith foundation when you honor me with your finances. I once heard a pastor tell a story about a village in Africa where fathers, in an attempt to teach their children to depend on them and to trust them, at about the age of three, take them to a large tree in the village. And when they carry their babies to this large tree, and they're about 3 years old, and they find one of the highest branches and they just hang them on it. They just put them on it. And the baby grabs it, and then the father just lets go and steps back. Now, one can only imagine the anxiety and stress that that child is feeling. As that child is holding on for dear life and looking down and seeing how high up he or she is, panic starts to set in. And that child starts screaming, Daddy, Daddy, come back! Daddy, Daddy, come back! Daddy, Daddy, come back! And all they hear is the voice of their father standing underneath them like this, saying, Daddy is strong enough. Daddy is big enough. Daddy will catch you. No, Daddy, no, I can't let go. Daddy, I'm scared. And the father just stands underneath them like this and says, Daddy is big enough. Daddy is strong enough. Daddy will catch you. And all of a sudden, that child lets go, only to fall into the loving arms of their father. And God sent me to tell you that some of us in here are killing ourselves trying to hold on to that branch, thinking that we have to keep it all together. We have to fight for ourselves because nobody ever fought for us. We got to defend ourselves because nobody's ever defended us. We got to protect ourselves because nobody's ever protected us. We got to provide for ourselves because nobody's ever provided for us. We have generational bondage, generational brokenness, generational debt. I got to hold on to this. I can't let go of this bridge. And God is standing there underneath you saying, Daddy is big enough. Daddy is strong enough. Daddy will catch you. You see, some of us got baptized holding our debit cards in the air. Pastor was like, I baptized you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was like, hold on, Pastor. All right, dump it now, dump. All right, we good. God, you can have everything but that. You can have everything, God, but that. You can have my dreams, you can have my relationships, you can have my life. You can't have that, though. Debit cards in the air. And it doesn't help that life constantly have us playing the comparison game. Right? That's why some of us ain't even on social media no more. It's just so we're looking at the newest this and who copped the next that, and then we're comparing ourselves to what we got and what we saved and what we don't got and what they got. And it keeps us on the treadmill. And then God says to you today, oh, so you a thief and you tired. Oh, if we're honest, that's us. Thief and tired. My Lord, we be fried, don't we? Fried. Some of us can't even make it to church because we still working. Some of us work on our days off, vacation and work. Work, 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 work. And God's like, all that effort for what? Every dollar that you've made and saved will one day be in the hands of somebody else to manage. My God, you didn't hear what I just said. I said every dollar you've ever made or saved will one day be in the hands of somebody else to manage. So you're killing yourself to hit some arbitrary level that makes you feel good about you, but you're gonna die and leave all that to somebody else anyway. So why would you let life decide what happens to your hard work instead of letting God decide what, am I helping somebody? See, the power of the tithe is this. The power of the tithe says this, God can do more with 90% of my income than I can do with 100% of my income. So I'm gonna make God my financial provider, my financial advisor, my insurance provider, and my business partner. And understand that God will bless you in the 90 with an overflow you would have never had in the 100. Third and final point, and I'm out your way, I gotta move. Somebody say this with me. Point three, the person we become. Now, I told you in the very first message of this series that we're all stewards of and not owners of everything in our lives. Y'all remember that? Yeah. Okay. Which means that it's God's desire for us to constantly grow in our managerial skills. Somebody say managerial skills. Yeah, managerial skills. God wants to grow you in your managerial skills. Well, PK, I don't even got a job. God wants to grow you in your managerial skills. Well, PK, I'm the CEO. God wants to grow you in your managerial skills. What, PK? I'm entry level. God wants to grow you in your managerial skills. That's why Jesus compares the kingdom to a businessman leaving his affairs to be managed. God created this world as one big profitable business, and he's put humanity over it to exercise managerial wisdom over his created order. This is why Jesus didn't use spiritual principles, he used management principles. You don't know that? He said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. That's a spiritual truth, yes. But that's not just true in church. That's true in corporate. That's true in college. That's true in relationships. How many of us know, oh, I can't trust you with much because you couldn't handle that little bit. I gave you a little bit of truth and you went and told the world, I can't trust you no more. How do you think promotions happen at work? Because you were trusted with a little bit and then they knew they could give you more. How do you think a degree happens? Oh, because you were trustworthy with a little bit of information from each class and you faithfully completed it. Therefore, they trusted you with a degree. Who am I talking to? If you're faithful with little, God will give you more. That's not spiritual. That's just facts. So I'm going to say something controversial. You probably never heard a pastor say this in your life. I don't think God wants to make you more spiritual. Some of y'all too spiritual. Well, I don't know. I ain't heard from the Lord yet. Let me lay out this. Let me just lay that down. Let me dance on it. Spin 3 times. That you, Lord? Oh, no, you ain't talk yet. You just too spiritual. You spooky. Just walking up to people who just, I got a word for you. Well, God done told me that you supposed to be mine. Well, God ain't tell me that. And last time I checked, God know my address, my phone number, my social security number. He know how to find me. Like, you just too spiritual. God don't want to make you more spiritual. God wants to make you a better manager. Because if all of us at our core are managers, then God's will for us is to constantly be growing in our ability to manage everything he's put in our lives. So I want to end this sermon by giving you 5 ways that tithing makes you a better manager, which in turn makes you a better Christian. Can I help you? Who's ready? The first way, write this down. Accountability. Somebody say accountability. Tithing makes you accountable. In all my years of pastoring, I've heard people confess many sins, but I've never heard anyone confess the sin of greed. Oh my God. You see, financial sin is one of the most dangerous sins because it's always camouflaged as something else in our lives. So because we never can identify it, we never get accountability in that one area of our lives. But the tithe makes us accountable. And accountability serves you not just in your finances, but it serves you in every area of your life. The second way that tithing makes us a better Christian is it teaches us discipline. Somebody say discipline. Discipline is the difference between disaster and destiny. For you to put aside a tenth of everything you make to give to God first requires, you ready? Self-control. Self-control. Do you know what the Bible says about self-control? That the Bible says that self-control, not prophecy, not word of knowledge, y'all not talking to me, not spiritual gifts, that self-control is an evidence that you are spirit-filled. The Bible says, for God gives us not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Tithing teaches you discipline, which is a sign that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Third, tithing makes you honest. Somebody say honesty. For you to be a faithful tither means that you're doing it because you know that no one's watching but God. Oh my God. See, you're not talking to me. See, you know you can easily lie to the pastor. You can lie to the church. You can lie to the people around you. You can give sporadically. You can give once a month, once a week, or you can never give at all. Nobody's ever going to know what you actually make and what you actually are giving or not giving but God. But to faithfully give the tithe means that you're doing it for the applause of heaven, not the praise of earth. And what you do in secret, you ready for the kingdom principle? What you do in secret will be rewarded in secret. Fourth thing the tithe teaches us is faithfulness. Somebody say faithfulness. The biggest problem in many of our lives is not that we're unfruitful, it's that we're unfaithful. Not just in tithing, but in general. And God uses the tithe to teach us how to be faithful even when we're fearful. He teaches us how to be faithful to him first and let our feelings catch up second. And this will serve you not just financially, but in your destiny, because your future depends on your faithfulness. And last but not least, tithing makes us trustworthy. Somebody say trustworthy. For you to financially manage 90% well tells God that you can handle 100% of what he has for your life. Oh, don't miss that. It proves to God that you're trustworthy. I don't got to hold it back anymore. I can release it, blessings on blessings, more than he or she can contain. I can pour it out because they can manage it. Family, what I just described wasn't just a good giver or a good manager. I just described Jesus. Jesus was accountable. Jesus was disciplined. Jesus was honest. Jesus was faithful. And Jesus was trustworthy. Jesus was the greatest manager of God's creation that we've ever seen. And nothing can make you more like Jesus than honoring God first in your finances. So today, as I close, I'm calling to the altar today five types of people who need God to move in their lives. Prayer team, you could come on up. I'm calling to the altar today anybody who knows that they're lacking accountability, discipline, honesty, faithfulness, and trustworthiness. Not just in your money, but in your life. If you're sitting here today knowing I'm not accountable to anybody, and I need to be today. If you're sitting here today knowing I'm not disciplined, but I need to be today. If you're sitting here knowing I'm dishonest, I'm not telling the truth, but I need to be. If you're sitting here saying I'm unfaithful, I know I gotta be faithful. And if you're sitting here saying I'm not trustworthy, come to the altar right now. Come to the altar right now. I'm gonna pray a special blessing over you, and we're going to pray for God to break whatever it is that is holding you back. Don't let the enemy keep your feet glued to the ground when there's a river here at this altar. Don't stay in that reservoir when there's a river open to you. I said there's a river open to you that's flowing to you right now. So come and receive what God wants to bring into your life. And God's saying to you today, I want to grow you in all these areas by first growing you in your giving. Everybody at the altar and everybody in the congregation, head bowed, arms raised. Father God, you see your people. God, you see their need. God, you know that everything that was said today wasn't first for the church or for the kingdom, it was for them. God, may they hear you now from heaven saying to them, my beloved son, my beloved daughter, let go of the branch, let go of it. Let go of it. Daddy's big enough. Daddy's strong enough. And daddy will catch you. God, may they release whatever is holding them bondage today. May they release today whatever area of their life they're not accountable in. May they release today whatever area of their life they lack discipline. May they release today whatever area of their life they've been unfaithful. May they release today any area of their life they've been dishonest. May they release today any area of their life they haven't proven themselves trustworthy. Because God, you say that if we are faithful with little, you will give us much. And God, I want much for them. I want everything heaven has for them. I want everything you've died to give them. I want everything you've promised for them. So God, turn them from a reservoir into a river. God, turn this church from a reservoir to a river. May we flow blessings on blessings on blessings to Harlem, to LA, to London, to the ends of the earth. May this church be a river of your power to save. Get all the glory as you do it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.